Well, 2 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, my name is Steve Winters. The program is Profiles in Folk. We're with you every Friday evening for what we describe kind of as a thematic exploration of the diverse world of folk and acoustic music. And that is indeed what we're going to be doing tonight. The show is kind of has a schizophrenic personality. For the first hour, we're going to be going live to Studio A and meeting with Liz Gallorne, who's an up-and-coming young singer-songwriter, has been making a lot of waves. It's got a lot of buzz around her. And in the second hour, we'll be turning to more, well, traditional types such as Tom Paxton and Finest Kind, and maybe even Richard Schindel, all of whom are in the area this weekend performing. So stay with us for the next 2 hours here on Profiles in Folk. Well, we're going to roll down to Studio A and take a listen and do some talking with a woman who says, "I make music in an unnamed genre." And then in parentheses, avant, psych, twang, clinical blues. Well, we'll find out what that's all about. Let's go down into Studio A at WSHU and listen to Liz Gallorne.
My wallet looks like the lottery. Old tickets and nothing to show. The carny's lights are diamond dim, spooky and inviting. I'm going to liberate some money just to let my you
Liz Gallorn and Ryan Blessy, who's also in the studio as Liz's accompanist tonight. It's good to have you both.
Thanks.
You've been getting an awful lot of buzz lately. Everywhere I turn, I see articles about Liz Gallorn, or I see some mention of you. And we had gotten your album a while back and had enjoyed it. But one of the words I kind of use a lot in describing some of the music I play is eclectic. And that certainly, I think, describes you as well, although you had your own description, that avant, psych, twang, clinical blues.
That's pretty much eclectic, I would think, you know? Eclectic is shorthand for that.
Right. Where does it all come from?
I listened to a lot of weird music growing up, and everything from regular rock and roll radio to old-timey music. I went to old-time music camp this fall.
Did you really?
Massachusetts.
Terrific.
Just listened to people play fiddle and banjo, and I was one of the few guitar pickers there. And a little bit of folk and a lot of 60s folk and my peers mostly, right. A lot of the other Connecticut songwriters.
And you started music when you were pretty young, as I seem to recall from reading some articles about you.
Just goofing around on the piano, picking things out by myself, and a little jaw harp I had, and I could probably bang two French fry baskets together and make music, but
right.
You know.
So it's really in the blood.
I think so. I think it comes from my mother. She's very musical.
So it's in the genes as well. Okay. Did either of your parents perform?
No, but they were always playing music around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had access to a piano and guitars when I was little.
You've got the one CD out, which is simply self-entitled, Liz Gallorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got an amazing cover on it that is kind of arresting, you know, when you look at it. But we'll get to that a bit later. I just wanted to pursue, you've been in a lot of different bands, and you're now pretty much doing duo work and solo work?
Duo and full band.
Okay.
And a tiny bit of solo.
Right. Okay. So I've got it backwards.
That's okay.
In fact, you're going to be doing a lot of spots in the area coming up here in Connecticut as well. Liz will be part of the Liz Gallorn duo tomorrow at All Gallery on Edwards Street in New Haven. And that show is also going to feature the Sawtells that you've played with a good deal. And it's at 8 o'clock. And then you're doing The Space the following Saturday, which is a wonderful, wonderful little venue on Treadwell Street in Hamden with the full band and our old friend John Sean Persinger and Nora O'Connor is also on the bill at 7 o'clock. And you've got a few other dates we'll get to later in the program, but you've got a big one coming up in May as well, opening up for Cheryl Wheeler at the Danbury Music Center on Main Street in Danbury on May 20th. How did that come about?
Well, the person who is putting that show together is an acquaintance, and he just walked into where I worked and asked me to do the show.
So you were networking. Okay.
I felt like it just fell into my lap, and I was very excited. And the venue is in walking distance from my apartment, so that's very exciting as well. Any show I can walk to.
Terrific. Well, and Cheryl has not played a lot around here recent years, so I would think there'll also be a really good audience, not only with her reputation, her stylings, but the fact that she has been here just sporadically in recent years. So, it's a good feather. Have you ever opened for anybody that large?
The other large person I opened for was Amy Rigby.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun show at The Space.
Right.
So.
Okay, so now just to backtrack, you kind of had the music in the genes. You grew up with a lot of musicality around you, played instruments at a very young age. And were you basically heading off to be an instrumentalist, or were you at a very early age doing some songwriting as well?
I didn't really start writing until I was in college. I always played music and then wrote texts separately.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I knew I would have to put the two together.
Right.
And tried to do that for a long time, and then it just started coming together after playing in bands for a while.
Mm-hmm. You were playing mostly just instrumental in the bands?
Yeah, I was playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what moved you into the songwriting?
I really wanted to do it. I just had to do it. And I picked up a 4-track tape recorder,
right.
Borrowed one from my brother, and that became a really good songwriting tool for me. So I could put all the little pieces I had in my head down on tape, and eventually I got to the point where I didn't need the 4-track in order to write,
mm-hmm.
and I could string things together.
Right.
On
now,
my own.
Do you also write out music?
I can notate. It's like
okay.
dental work. But I don't really read music. I could write it down, but I can't really read it back. So.
That's probably true of most performers.
Yeah.
At least ones that have visited here. So what comes first, or does it all come together, the music or the songwriting?
It pretty much comes together. I don't necessarily have the guitar with me when I'm writing a song, but the music is there when I've got the words most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And sometimes I'll store phrases for a really long time until they magically pop into a melody.
Mm-hmm. Now, pieces that you wrote years ago, are they still in your repertoire?
Definitely.
Okay. Do you want to play something from an early time?
Well, Legendary Cowboys is one of the first songs I ever wrote. So we could do that.
Could do it off the CD if you'd prefer to.
Sure, we could do that.
If we can cue up Legendary Cowboy, which is Cowboys, which is track number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about the making of the album as well, because it's a debut album, I assume.
Yes.
It always seems to be a traumatic experience that performers learn a lot from after it's out, and they're performing the songs on it, and many performers I know just say, well, I don't even want to think about it anymore. I've learned a lot of lessons from it for the next album. Were you happy with the first album?
I'm definitely happy with it. It turned out a little differently than I thought, and it took a lot longer than I thought because I played most of the instruments myself.
Right. Yeah.
But overall, I'm very happy with it.
Because it's a really fascinating work, because you seem to draw from so many different types of music. Did that become a problem in putting the album together?
Not really, because I didn't know any other way to do it. So my ignorance is,
Well, that's usually the case with, first albums, too. I don't know if you're familiar with the songwriter Steve Gillette, fellow who wrote Darcy Farrow, a song, he wrote it back in the 60s before you were born, but he could probably live off the royalties of that song. It's been covered by so many people over the years, and he did a classic album that became a real collector's item for many years before it had been put into CD, because the album was so valuable. It was on Vanguard Records. And I remember chatting with him last year at a concert, and I said, boy, that album was so legendary. And he said, boy, if I only knew then what I knew now. He said, you ever listen to that album? It's horrible. And it was his, big claim to fame for decades.
Wow.
And then he finally got around to reissuing it as a CD within the last few years, which probably took the worth of the vinyl down, but it was just one of those deals. And he had Bruce Langhorne, who was an accompanist to Bob Dylan in the early days as well, that was accompanying him on the album. And he said, boy, we didn't know what we were doing sometimes. But the album became a classic. And he still does a lot of the material from that particular album. Well, we've kind of gone far afield, so why don't we listen to Legendary Cowboys, and then we'll talk about it after
okay.
it's over.
Legendary cowboys call the yodelers fools. Their headgear isn't cool, and nobody wants them to sing about the precipice and wait for it endless, boundless opportunity rides a pinto pony.
Legendary Cowboys from Liz Gellorn's debut album, which is simply entitled Liz Gellorn. And we should probably tell people, before I forget about it, how it can be obtained as well. I know it can be obtained through your webpage.
Yes.
And is it also with like CD Baby?
CD Baby, definitely. Mm-hmm. And there are some area record stores that have it as well.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, you've got some good record shops up in the Danbury area.
Yeah, so, not too shabby.
Right? So what's the story behind that particular song?
That was one of the first songs I wrote, and I was taking voice lessons at the time, and my voice teacher said I had to go home and write a song before my next lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I just grabbed the guitar and sat down, and that was what came out. I sat
right.
down and wrote it all in one gulp, and I'm still not sure exactly what it means. It's sort of like a weird Zen cowboy song
mm-hmm.
that came from outer space or something. So
that's kind of good because, you know, listeners can make up their own mind and own interpretations many times.
Definitely.
Sometimes that's a real key to songwriting. You obviously have a knack for songwriting. I mean, you write some beautiful, beautiful lyrics. And I know many of your songs have gotten critical praise as well. Do you feel you have a good knack for it?
I don't think about it too much, but I like doing it, and I'll keep doing it until I croak. So I guess that's I must have a knack for it.
Right. Now you're fairly young, and you've been playing for how many years professionally?
Since 98.
Oh, very, very recent then.
Mm-hmm.
How have you found the whole, I don't want to say competition, but I guess the challenge of being a singer-songwriter, essentially? I mean, there are a lot of singer-songwriters around, and there are a growing number of venues, but it's still pretty tough, even though you've got a good array of places you're playing in the next few weeks.
It is tough, but I just keep plugging away at it, and every few months I'll get a new venue that works out really well. And having a band and also playing duo and also playing solo, I could play anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm trying to play a rock venue, I don't mention folk, and when I'm trying to play a folk venue, I don't mention rock. So
that's great. That's smart. Do you find that it's easier to book a band or a duo than it is a single, as a soloist?
I think so, in a lot of ways.
I was talking with another singer-songwriter last Saturday evening. I went down to New York to the Postscript Coffee House at Columbia, and there were some people there I wanted to see, and one of them was Laurie McAllister, who was got a new solo album out that Cliff Eberhardt, the songwriter, produced as well. And she's been a guest here on the show. And she was playing with two other women as a trio. And she said to me before the show, she said, you just can't imagine how easy it has been to book a trio. And, I mean, they got a booking at the Bethlehem Music Fest this year for umpteen dollars, which was, you know, she was, like, stunned. She said, well, I threw this figure at them, and they said, okay. You know, and, you know, she's, like, almost abandoned her solo career at this point, even though the album just came out within the last 3 months. And I know she worked for several years on it. It's got a lot of good people on, you know, playing along and stuff, but... she said, yeah, I just never quite knew on the whole acoustic scene that, you know, a trio would work so well. And they're called Red Molly, in case you ever get a chance to see them. Maybe you have seen them.
The name is very familiar.
They've got a, I'm trying to think of the other two people. One is Abby, is a dobro player. You know, there aren't too many female dobro players around from Rockland County. I just can't think of her last name. And the other member is a woman who's played with CC Railroad, a New York-based group as well. So, and they've only been together for like 4 months now. It's incredible. So, but I'm going to turn to the other half of the Liz Gallorne duo here, and Ryan Blessy. And it's good to have you here too, sir, as long as we're speaking about groups. What is your background in music? I know you don't want to talk a lot. We'll just have you talk a little.
I don't have much of a background in music. I started playing guitar in high school, and I played for quite a few years and accidentally fell out of it. It didn't do it for me anymore, and I stopped playing guitar and music in general altogether. And I always found myself having more of a percussive bend.
Okay.
And I started playing drums in my 20s and played drums for quite a while and actually played drums with Liz sometimes. And right, that's how it started, and the guitar thing. I've really only been playing guitar again for, I don't know, it seems like a few months.
I conned him into playing guitar.
She talked to me, twisted my arm.
Very nice style. Very good style.
It's probably been about 4 months that I've been playing guitar again.
You know? That's an amazing story. So, although it's not unusual either, I think, for some players.
Yeah, it's strange, but guitar is a little bit more... cerebral for me. I have to concentrate a little bit more.
Right.
I can fade back into a drum kit pretty easily.
Do you have to? You must have to practice a lot more too if you're a guitarist.
For me, I do. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, I don't know that it goes that way for everyone, but.
Right. Are you from Connecticut as well?
Yeah, I'm from Brookfield.
Okay.
Great. Not too far away.
There's a lot of artists up in that area. You know, especially in acoustic music, I've had a number of them here. My mind is, you know, sort of processing. Like, yeah. Okay, now that you've mentioned it, Steve, who have you had? But there's a fellow from who was the state. This is what happens when you get old; you just forget. But who was the state troubadour? It was from the Reading area, or Ridgefield. And,
I can picture him perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. So can I. He's been a guest here for so many times on the show, and my mind is just sort of blanked out. It'll come to me later.
Oh yes,
Kevin Briety. That's right. Thank you, Ellen. and there've been a host. He's brought friends in who've played as well. So it's been, you know, there are a lot of musicians in that area. Dave King is another one who,
yes,
just put an album out within the last year, too. I think lives up in the Danbury area and performs there a lot. Well, let's get you two to do another piece live.
This is a non-album track.
Okay.
This will probably end up on a new one called How Many, How Fast.
You are my ghost, you're impossible to live.
that is How Many, How Fast.
Yes.
And it'll be on the new album. Are you working
Hopefully.
On a new album at the moment?
I have a million jillion new songs, and Ryan and I will be starting recording hopefully within a month. So.
Okay, are you going to record in-state, or are you going out of state?
I'm going to record in-house.
Okay. A lot of artists are doing that now. I guess all the equipment and technology is there. You can do it in your own living room, and it comes out just as well as being in a studio.
Well, that's the hope.
Yeah.
Well, my first record was recorded at my producer's house, so
right.
I feel confident that we could do at least as good.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be the two of you doing it.
And bringing in other people as needed.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, what do you envision for the album? A lot of artists on it? Fellow musicians?
Well,
or?
I'm not sure. As much as possible ourselves, and then bringing in some of my peers from the Connecticut scene.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Well, our guests here tonight on Profiles in Folk are Liz Galorn, and we should spell her name out because we'll give you her web page. It's L-Y-S, and then her last name is G-U-I-L-L-O-R-N. So if you go to www.lizgalorn.com, you'll be able to find out a lot about her. And she's joined by Ryan Blessy, and together they are the Liz Galorn Duo. And making wonderful music, and they will be appearing tomorrow evening at the All Gallery. That's a venue I'm not familiar with. I know where Edwards Street is.
I've never been there either.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a really long room, mm-hmm. and it's totally unamplified. We're going to be completely acoustic.
Okay, you know, I think maybe that may be the same spot New Haven Folk Alliance did a December show at. Is it an art gallery as
yes.
well?
Yes.
Yeah. That very well may be the same place. It's at 5 Edwards Street, and the Sawtells will be there as well, and it will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. And then the following Saturday, the full band, the Liz Galorn Band, will be at The Space, one of our favorite spots on Treadwell Street in Hamden. Also on the show headlining that night will be Prester John, who is also known as Sean Persinger. What's he call his guitar style? Neo-primitive guitarist.
Modern primitive.
Yeah, modern primitive. Okay, guitarist. And Nora O'Connor will also be on the bill. And a few other shows that Liz has got coming up on the 29th of April, she'll be at the Buttonwood Tree up in Middletown with the Sawtells and Brunelli and Chalemi.
I'm right? not sure what they
and,
call themselves. But.
Still another duo there at 8 o'clock. And on May 6th, she'll be at the Las Vegas Lounge here in Fairfield on the Post Road, and that will be at 8 o'clock. And then May 20th, Friday evening at the Danbury Music Center on Main Street in Danbury, Liz will be opening up solo for Cheryl Wheeler that evening, with the Doors opening up at 7 o'clock and the show beginning at 7:30 p.m. Now, I want to get back to your songwriting, your musicianship, singing. I think I read somewhere that you described yourself at one point as sort of a reluctant vocalist.
Wow, I said that?
That may have been early in your career.
Yeah, when I was first starting off in bands, I think my very first high school band was instrumental because everyone was terrified to sing. It was four women and we were all... But I think everyone secretly was ego-driven and really wanted to sing.
Right.
And we didn't want to be the gutsy one to say, yeah, I'll do it. But I wouldn't call myself reluctant now.
Okay. So, but you, at that time you were, and were you the one that was tossed out there to do the singing?
Eventually. That group never had a singer. But I did end up singing in groups shortly after.
Right. You said you studied voice. When did you really start taking singing seriously?
Probably 95 or 96 when I started writing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
so you really are new to the business.
Definitely. I hope to stay that way.
Well, fresh outlook is always good, you know. I think a fresh approach is definitely good. What has disappointed you about, you know, if there's any area that's been disappointing as a performer, as a singer-songwriter?
Wow, I don't think anything has yet.
Good, you're still excited about it all. That's great.
I haven't had too many bad things happen to me, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all happen in my own head, so I'm trying to get over all the disappointments that I create for myself, and then I won't have to worry about anybody else.
Right. Do you play mostly in Connecticut, New York, or do you range more regionally as well?
Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, right. So far, yeah.
Because there is kind of a, you know, it's funny, you don't think of it this way, but you know, after talking with a lot of different performers who've come through here, there almost is a kind of like a progression, you know, where people will play just in Connecticut, and then they'll kind of branch out a little bit. And even young people who are a lot more, you know, mobily oriented, mm-hmm. say, than, you know, older performers. But I guess it takes time just to get noticed and to, you know, find venues that want to book you and such, although you seem to be having no problem whatsoever, which is a good, you know, quite a good sign.
Yeah, I haven't had too many problems with that.
Okay, let's squeeze another one out of you.
Okay.
Because I want to pack in as much music in 50 minutes as we can.
All right, this one's called Fine Tooth Comb.
always keep listeners guessing. What are some of the musical influences on your songwriting and music?
This is the kind of people always, that
you've stolen ideas from or whatever.
Oh, Ryan, help me.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue. It's all heavy metal.
The Cheers theme.
I pull things from the weirdest places, so I don't know.
Do you listen to Neil Young at all?
Neil Young would be a good one, yes.
Yeah, your music has sort of a, you know, at times almost a Neil Young intonation to it.
That's a good one. Neil Young, the Beatles, Tim Buckley, Astrid Gilberto, mm-hmm. Johnny Cash, mm-hmm. James Brown.
Eclectic.
Eclectic.
Yeah, we're back to that. Back to that word.
My mother singing to me all these weird little old time ditties.
Mm-hmm. And where do you hope to go with, you know, your music?
I'm going to throw it as far as I can and see where it lands.
Good answer. That's a good answer. It's a good answer. You really don't have any preconceived notions then of where you want to head, which is probably healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun if this... maybe it would be fun if this is all I did. Maybe it wouldn't be fun. I don't know. Yeah. I just want to keep doing it and mm-hmm. be able to do as much creative stuff as I possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a day job as well?
Yes.
I'll say, this is a pretty heavy performing schedule then for someone who's... got a day job.
My bosses are very kind and understanding, and if they're listening, I love you very much.
Yeah, it does take some understanding, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Do you have a day job as well,
I do,
Ryan?
Have a day job. Okay. I run a sheet metal shop in Brookfield.
Okay.
It's a family business.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah,
maybe that's where that percussiveness came in. Then
could be listening to machines bang around.
Right.
But, it gives me the flexibility to come in a little bit late on those nights that we come back from the city. So
yeah, you play several dates at the city. I see on your schedule coming up, like at the Parkside Lounge and stuff. And Lakeside Lounge.
Yeah.
See, no, Parkside is where they play bluegrass.
Oh, that's.
And that's got to be tough when you have day jobs and gigs usually start late and they end mm-hmm. late, and then you got the travel time home. So it's a good point.
Well,
good point.
You know, at this point, we're kind of getting used to it.
Ryan drives there, I drive back. It works.
I can drive the sawmill with both of my eyes closed. We just end up in the driveway.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing about being young. Yeah. Although I should, I go down not that frequently, but somewhat frequently to the Postscript as well to see performers I, particularly enjoy, and they don't get over until after midnight, sometimes 12:30, 1 a.m. So by the time you're leaving the city, it's late. So I too know how to drive.
Well,
Sawmill with
at the shop we start at 6, so it's a little tight. But if I'm there by 8, I'm good.
Right. Now you said you had like a jillion songs for the new album.
Yeah.
So I take it that you're probably doing a lot of songwriting.
It's pretty slow. It's just been so long since I recorded that statistics, have caught up with me. Mm-hmm. And now,
do you go on kind of like JAGS in songwriting?
Absolutely.
Where you write a whole group of songs in a short amount of time?
Definitely. Yeah.
What usually prompts that?
Healthy diet and going to bed early. I don't really know. I think once I have enough stored ideas, they just explode out of me for a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I get occupied with other things. Playing a lot of shows is sometimes very distracting.
Right.
And I get focused on rehearsing with the band and rehearsing duo. And that's fine. There's a big place for that, too.
Now, I take it the band is probably a little more to the rock side than the duo.
Yes, just because it's drums, bass, keyboards, two guitars, backing vocals, that there's a lot more sound.
Is there a big adjustment to be made musically when you, you know, when you're getting ready to play a particular venue, if you're, you know, from rock to the more acoustic side?
Definitely, I would say so. I mean, we're rehearsing several different configurations simultaneously, and sometimes it gets a little confusing. And like rehearsing the full band Monday night, and then Ryan and I are practicing completely acoustic for tonight and tomorrow. And
Right. It's a different mindset.
Yeah. Knowing we can't plug in tomorrow, how do we adjust all our gear? So.
Right. Those are all things, performers really have to think about. So are you going to be using microphones, or are you just...
Nothing.
Nothing, okay.
So if people want to hear my voice, they're going to have to come up very close.
You'll just have to belt it out like Janis Joplin.
I might have to do that.
Okay, I should let people know that there are pictures of both Liz and Ryan that are up on the web already at www.wshu.org, so that people want to put the face with the guitar and the voice, they'll be able to. And it sometimes, in your case, it will not lead to humor, but there occasionally, I'm trying to remember, we had a bluegrass band in here, or an old-timey string band, and I got home that night and checked my emails, and there were a couple emails from listeners who said, "Boy, you guys are really old geezers in that studio." You know, they'd go out to the webpage to take a look at the photos. It does happen. But the pictures are up on the web at www.wshu.org. And again, if you want to find out more about Liz Galorn, you can go to her webpage, www.lizgalorn.com, and I'll spell out Liz Galorn for you, LYSGUILLORN. Look at the switching of the guitars, it's like the changing of the guard. Do you want to do another live piece? Or,
yes.
I do want to get to Little Wren on the album, too.
All right. If you want to do that first.
Yeah, okay, why don't we do that?
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about Little Wren, which is, I think, the fifth track on the album.
That song is a note to myself to speak up a little.
Okay.
And on the album, Dean Wareham from Luna and Galaxy 500 plays the lead guitar part.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a marvelous little piece.
Thanks.
Well, let's listen to it, and then we can talk a bit about it.
Open your throat, can dancers are cruel.
sound, the word, the void, the voice is heard. The sound, the word, the void, the voice is
Liz Gellorn from her self-titled album, and that's a piece called Little Wren. And I did want to get back to the cover of the album because it's a striking print of, I assume, it's three-legged.
Three-legged wolf.
It is a wolf. Okay. I wasn't sure. I just keep looking at it all the time. And is it a print that is just a favorite of yours, or...?
It's a woodcut done by my friend and former bandmate, Elisa Flynn.
Oh, okay.
She's a woodcut artist, and I was struck by it. Jargon Society, my old band, used to practice at her house, and I would stare at that print all the time. And when it came time to pick an album cover, I was like, that's what I want. I want that print because it's so striking. So.
It is. I mean, you sort of I don't want to say fixate on it, but close to it. And a little bit, even like Little Wren, has, in a sense, has a Zen-like quality to it because of the repetition through it. It's fascinating, but it's a wonderful choice for an album cover.
Thanks.
As well. I don't know how you're going to top it at your second album. But.
I don't know. Although I did have a dream about what my next album cover would look like. I don't think that's what I'm going to use, but I have dreamed about it. So.
What did the dream tell you?
It was a black background with these weird psychedelic colored birds on it. So I don't know what's going to happen. Birds and eggs and swirly things.
Okay, just one more mention that with us in the studio here during this first hour of Profiles in Folk tonight are the Liz Gellorn Duo, featuring Liz Gellorn and Ryan Blessy, and that they will be performing tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. This is a weekend with a lot of folk and acoustic performers performing. So it's a lot of tough competition out there. But I think Richard Schindel and Lucy Kaplansky are right down the road in Westport. And Finest Kind, a Canadian trio, are out in Brantford tomorrow. Tom Paxton's in town on Sunday in Bridgeport.
It's just incredible. There's all kinds of artists appearing, but the Liz Gellorn Duo and the Sawtelles, full band, they'll all be together at the All Gallery on 5 Edwards Street in downtown New Haven. That'll be tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And the following Saturday, you'll be able to hear and see Liz with the full band at The Space on Treadwell Street in Hamden, not far from the New Haven town line. The headliner for that evening will be Prester John, a.k.a. Sean Persinger, and Nora O'Connor is also on the bill, and that's at 7 o'clock. You've got to get there early if you want to get those nice, comfortable sofas. And on the 29th of April, the Sawtelles and the Liz Gellorn Duo will be at the Buttonwood Tree in Middletown, and that'll be an 8 o'clock show, and there'll be a few other duos on the bill as well. On May 6th, Friday evening, the Liz Gellorn Duo will be at the Las Vegas Lounge here in Fairfield on the Post Road. That'll be 8 o'clock. And then on the 20th of May, Friday evening, at the Danbury Music Center on Main Street, and Liz will be opening up for Cheryl Wheeler. And the doors will open at 7 o'clock that evening. The show will begin at 7:30 p.m. And again, it's the Danbury Music Center, and it is on May 20th. So, and you've got a few other dates, as I recall, that are down in New York City, too.
Yeah.
In between. So you are busy. Busy.
Which it's a good thing.
Good.
We'll have to carve out some time to record. I'll have to stop my compulsive booking and force us to record.
That is the tough part. Yeah. You just block out the time, mm-hmm. and don't do any performing. I think is what most artists do. But
yeah.
Then there are artists who kind of do both. And I don't know how they do it, but they do.
I don't either. Oh, well.
Well, it's been wonderful having you both in here.
Thanks.
It's amazing how quickly an hour can go by.
It whizzes right by.
But we wish you well with your career. I mean, you've already got a lot of buzz created around what you're doing. In fact, if listeners want to take a closer look at you, I think it's this week's edition of the New Haven Advocate.
Yes.
Has got one of those short, pithy profiles of you, mm-hmm. As well, with questions we didn't ask.
Right.
So, including what was the one, the question that should have been asked? How does it feel to be 9 feet tall?
Yes. I wouldn't know is the answer.
Is the answer, right. Okay, so they can go to the New Haven Advocate this weekend as well. And I think even in this morning's Register, you've got, there's a photo.
Oh,
and yeah, a little teaser for your show as well.
Good for me. So,
you're working. I don't. You may not even be working at it. It just may be happening. But you're getting good publicity, and that's a key for an artist. Mm. There's no doubt about it. Well, what are you going to finish off with?
We're going to finish off with a song that has never been played before.
This is a good place to try out material.
Yep. It's called Winged Victory. Saturating.
night at the drinking glass, my head in my hands, two nickels at my feet, my darling, take me with you, desaturate me.
Or is Liz Gellorn from Danbury, Ryan Blessy from Brookfield, and together they are the Liz Gellorn duo, and they will be appearing tomorrow evening at the All Gallery at 5 Edward Street in New Haven, 8 o'clock. The Sawtells are also on the bill, and up-and-coming young artist, acoustic artist, with us here live in WSHU's Studio A this evening. And this is a young woman with a lot of potential. You're going to be hearing a lot from in the future. That last piece called Winged Victory, and probably the first public airing of it. We'll see. We'll check with them. You're tuned to WSHU 91.1 FM in Fairfield, Connecticut, serving Fairfield and New Haven counties. From the eastern end of Long Island, we are 89.9 WSUF FM, Noyak, Greenport, New London. And along the Connecticut coast, on the AM dial, we're WSHU AM 1260 in Westport.